Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Nice to have you back with us, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn, and today we're going to be talking about buying a home. It's a fascinating subject to talk about. Everybody who would like to have a home and buy a home, a lot of people are really concerned about it. They don't know if this is a good time to do it. Should they wait? The interest rates are high, as you know. They're higher than they have been in a long time. You know, folks, 2-3 years ago, we're getting loans. Rates at 2%. Now it's up over 7%. So there are a lot of questions to be asked, and we have an expert with us today who can help us out and help those of you who are looking to buy a home or sell a home. Although our guest is an expert in the New York area, specifically in Brooklyn and Staten Island and Queens, because that's where he's based. His name is Charles Olson. He is a very seasoned real estate agent, and he is the founding member of the Keller Williams Realty Empire. I love the way they talk. That's the way of the Realty Empire. He specializes in those areas I just talked about. But look, he's so knowledgeable. He can give you information that's going to benefit you, whether you're living in Dallas or you're living in Cincinnati, wherever you might be, because the situation is pretty much the same all over the country. The interest rates are high. A lot of homes are not available. A number of houses for sale is limited. It's a crazy market right now. So let's bring Charles on. He was here last week. We're going to continue our conversation with Charles Olson, and he has a great website. He's based in Brooklyn, New York. I'll give you his website so you can get in touch with him if you'd like as we move along here. But Charles, good afternoon. Welcome back. Nice to have you with us. How are you today?
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you. You know, we love to talk to people who are experts in their field. You certainly are one of those. And let me just ask you, flat out, if a client walks into you today, and of course they'd be in the Brooklyn area if they came into your office, is this a good time to buy a house or not? How would you answer that?
I would answer it yes, for several reasons. One, yes, while interest rates are now hovering around 7%, historically speaking, they're still relatively low. I bought my first home back in the 90s, and I paid over 8%, and I was happy to do so because I saw where interest rates were, 10 years before that. They were in the double digits. So historically speaking, they're still relatively low. And, you know, people are holding off on buying, you know, hoping that interest rates will go down. Well, interest rates may go down, but prices are going to go up. So while you're waiting for the interest rate to go down, the home values are appreciating, and you're going to be in the same boat, not being able to afford a home. You know, the Chinese, I believe, have a proverb essentially to the effect of the best time to plant the tree is 20 years ago. The second best time to plant the tree is today. It's my opinion that, the best time to buy a home was 20 years ago. The next best time to buy it is today. If interest rates go down, just refinance. You know, it's that simple. Refinance as interest rates drop, and you'll get the lower interest rate.
Do you think the rates will go back down again like they were like 3 years ago or not?
You know, it's such a complex issue. For me to just be able to predict that would give an illusion that I have a crystal ball and could predict the future. And if I could do that, well, I probably would be doing something else today. I think it's likely that interest rates could come down. I don't cross my fingers hoping for it to go down. Interest rates are what interest rates are. You know, regardless of whatever the interest rates are, what I think you need to look at rather than the interest rate is the monthly cash flow. How much is it going to cost you on a monthly basis to pay for your home all in? That means utilities, insurance, taxes. What is it going to cost on a monthly basis? Can you afford that monthly payment? Is it 25% or less of your take-home pay after taxes? So, you want to budget around 25% for your housing costs. And as long as those numbers work, I would say go ahead. If you're spending more than 25% of your total take-home pay for housing, that's too much house for you or too expensive of a house for you. So it's not the interest rate you have to be concerned about per se. It's cash flow per month. How much money do you have to put towards your home ownership?
Well, a lot of people are also concerned about the down payment. What is the current situation in the down payment area? There were times when you could get in with very little down payment. 20% normally is the typical down payment.
Personally, what I would say is you should have 20% for the home. That's not to say that people don't put down less than 20%. But it's riskier, and it'll cost you more. You might have to pay private mortgage insurance or PMI, which doesn't benefit you at all. It benefits the bank. My opinion is, save a home, save for the home purchase until you have 20% down payment, and then by all means go ahead and buy a home as long as the total cost after principal, interest, taxes, insurance, and any other homeowner association fees or anything like that is not more than 25% of your income. You can buy a home for less than 20% down, but it's appreciably more risky. And I don't advise it, but that's my opinion anyway.
Well, listen, your opinion is the one that counts, and that's really important now. I know that, you run the Keller Williams Empire, as the way you call it, and the way it's listed on your website. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm the founding member, I'm broker of record. I do have partners. I don't run the day-to-day operations in Keller Williams. There's something called an operating principal, and I handed that role off to somebody else. I much preferred focusing my time and helping people buy and sell homes, specifically sell homes in Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island.
So let's talk about that that area of the country, since you really are thoroughly knowledgeable in that area and helping people sell homes. Give me some advice and the kind of advice you would give people who call you and say I need an agent to help me sell this house. What do you do? What are the important things that people have to know before they put their home on the market?
Well, first thing I like to do is make sure they're financially viable to purchase a home, that the income is stable, that they have steady jobs, that they've been employed, that they have proof of their income, and see how much money they have towards the down payment. If they have less than 20% towards the down payment, I may very well advise for them to hold off a bit until they have the 20% down payment.
That's if you're going to try and buy a home. My question concerned people selling a home. People who come to you and want you to represent their home and list it. What are the things that are important that you go over with them? And I guess you examine the home first, help find out if their pricing
the
is right. What do you do?
Well, yes, all of that and more. First off, I'm going to ask them what the motivation is for selling the home. Find out what the current situation is with it. Like, for instance, if it's an older couple. Or just older folks that are looking to sell the home that they bought 20, 30 years ago. I would, and they're looking to sell it and they're going to have massive capital gains. I might tell them to hold off a second. You need to speak to a tax accountant or a tax attorney to figure out how you're going to mitigate any capital gains taxes due, right? If you pay $30,000 for your home in Brooklyn and it's now worth $1.5, $2 million, even after a $500,000 capital gains exemption for a married couple, they're going to have to pay capital gains tax on the proceeds of the sale. So they should speak to a tax attorney or something like that to put it in a trust to protect the asset and figure out, how to mitigate any potential capital gains tax.
A lot of people don't understand that.
I see. I'm not just a salesperson. I am your fiduciary. It's my responsibility to make sure that you keep every last dollar that home is worth. I look to maximize the amount of money that they receive and cause them to spend as little amount of money as possible in order to get the home prepped for sale. So I like to understand my client's individual situations. No two situations are the same. Some homes are water situations. Some homes are, pristine condition, so it's really understanding the client, what their needs are, why they're looking to sell, where they're looking to go. Do they already have a place to go to, or do they need to buy after they sell? Do they have the money for the down payment? I ask a lot of questions so I could best represent them and help them in whatever their given current situation is.
Well, let me ask you something. Has the real estate changed, the situation changed in your area where you are in Brooklyn and Staten Island and Queens since the pandemic? What's the story in that area?
It's a unique period of time where I think it's both a good time to buy and sell. Usually it's a buyer's market or a seller's market, but it's actually a good time for both parties. And the reason being as follows, while interest rates have gone up, what that has done is...
Charles, do me a favor. You're breaking up a little bit. It's kind of hard to hear you. Slow down a little bit. You're breaking up on your line, so just try again
okay.
And slow down your speaking, okay? And get close to the phone like you were before. Go ahead. Let me ask that again. What's the situation
right
since the pandemic? Okay? Go ahead.
The situation since the pandemic is, I'd say, it's both a buyer's and a seller's market. Usually it's one or the other. But because interest rates have increased, that has slowed down the bidding wars. You're not seeing a crazy appreciation of home prices. It's slowed it down. But it hasn't depreciated home prices. So you're still getting relatively high numbers for your home when you sell it. On the buy side, because you're not getting into bidding wars, it's not as competitive for a particular home. And while interest rates have gone up, they're still relatively low, comparatively speaking, to yesteryear. So you could still get a home without getting into a bidding war, and both parties could be happy. The sellers get the price that they want, and the purchaser is able to afford to buy a home without risking getting into a ferocious bidding war.
In your area, what's the typical length of time a house stays on the market? I know it varies all across the country. What's it like in your area, in the New York City area?
Well, it does vary in New York City also. In New York City area also, there's lots of different property types, from co-op apartments to multifamily buildings. It really depends on the property type. But let's take the sale of a traditional one- or two-family home. As long as it's priced correctly, and what do I mean by correctly? Priced at a point where the market says that there's value in the home. In other words, not overpriced. You could probably get this into the contract in less than a month and get it closed within 90 days from the list date. That would be pretty fast in New York City. It's typically, from contract to close could take 1 to 3 months on average. I know that's a lot different in a lot of other places around the country, but around here, you got to figure from list date to close date, if everything goes well and everything is smoothly, you're looking at 1 to 3 months to get something closed. If you overprice it, you're going to sit on the market day after day, week after week, month after month. And, you know, if you have violations or tenant issues or any number of a myriad of problems, that could slow or increase the number of days on market dramatically. So it really depends on each individual property and property type and the given situation as to how long it'll stay on the market. But plain vanilla home, 30 to 90 days to get it closed.
Well, that's not too bad, to tell you the truth. Let me ask you, what do you walk around a home when someone wants you to represent it and give people advice on what they should do, you know, whether they should strip, you know, their personal belongings or their pictures and things like that and hide them, or what? What do you do? What's the best advice to make a home look like somebody wants to buy it, you know?
I absolutely do that. Along with my partner, we walk through the home and we advise on repairs that we believe are necessary. You know, I look for four things for repair or remediation, and that would be asbestos-style pipe wrapping. You know, there's a lot of that in the old homes in New York City. I'm looking for mold. I'm looking for leaks and evidence of past leaks, because all of those things are going to come up as points of negotiation from a particular buyer. So that's, you know, in terms of the condition of the home. And then the staging of the home, I'm looking for personal pictures, religious artifacts, you know, like any religious, like a cross or any various religious type things.
Right.
You don't want to have that in the home because you don't know who's coming in the home and it might offend somebody. You know, different cultures want to see and don't want to see different things in the home. I would take down personal pictures. You know, you want to depersonalize it. You want to declutter it. You want to make it as best presentable as possible. So I do go through the home, offer advice on what should be done. And sometimes I hire a stager an organizing person to come in and help people get their homes organized, neatened up, and write a report as to what should or should not be done in the home to prepare it for the sale. So, like, when I take a listing, you know, as we call it, it might be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months before we're ready to put the home on the market, depending on the current condition, if it's cluttered or has a lot of furniture in it, or it just has to be emptied out. My job is to make sure the home presents as best as possible to net the seller the highest amount of money for the home.
Well,
and
that's
we
very
that
good advice.
Properly staging it and doing it.
Let me ask you a question about a home that might be empty. I can remember years ago in California, a builder had built some really high-end homes, but, you know, they were new and they were empty and they weren't selling. And finally, he hired a company to come in and put furniture and decorate the home and make it look like it was lived in, and the home sold almost right away. Is it that way in your area? When if a home is empty, you know, the movers, they've moved out and they're selling the home, do you then hire somebody to come put some furniture in and make it look a little lived in? Does that make it sell faster?
A staged home can sell faster. You know, so if you have a fully vacant home with no furniture or anything in it, I have once or twice staged it with you know, make-believe furniture from a staging company. But what I find to be just as effective is I virtually stage it. So I get professional pictures done, and then working with the designer who creates virtual these stage photos, we'll virtually put in furniture, pictures, paintings, whatever, to make it look like the home has furniture. And then I take another step where I will send out those virtual images to a printing company and get large poster boards printed out and put them on easels in the individual rooms. So when you walk into a room that's empty, it now has an easel with a big poster board with it all laid out and decorated to give the potential buyer a vision of what this home might look like fully furnished and staged. And that when I do that, we're selling the homes right away. So, yeah, I agree. A vacant home, people sometimes have trouble visioning what it could become. So I help them along by virtually staging it, and at the in-person showings have a large poster board blow up of the virtually staged picture so they get a good feel for what the home looks like when they're inside it, or could look like once they're inside it.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And that would go anywhere in the country, really. That same advice would hold, wouldn't you?
That's true, right. Physically staging it could be very time-consuming and very, very expensive, depending on the type of stage furniture that you want. You know, I even have a storeroom full of furniture that I could pull out if I needed to and use different pieces in different homes, but it really hasn't come to that very often. Usually the staged pictures, the virtually staged pictures are sufficient and gives the potential buyer the vision of what this home could be and look like. And I find that works just as well, if not better.
Well, we're talking to Charles Olson. He's a seasoned real estate agent and the founding member of the Keller Williams Realty Empire in Brooklyn, New York. Tell me a little bit about Keller Williams and what makes your organization so great. There are many, many real estate firms, but let's focus a little bit on Keller Williams. Talk to me about that, Charles.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that question. Well, I guess I could start with my journey to Keller Williams was going back around 11, 12 years ago. I was in real estate industry for a while, originally as an IT guy, and eventually wound up as the chief operations officer at a large privately held company, and they were approached to convert to Keller Williams. So I researched the model as the operations officer, and I absolutely fell in love with the Keller Williams people, the model, the systems. Everything about the company is geared towards the agents and the customers and clients that they serve. It's all about culture, doing the right thing, creating win-win situations in any deal that we do. We live by our Y4C 2Ts, which is it's kind of like a code of ethics about how we operate, how we work and interact with everybody. It's a very collaborative environment, heavily training-based and technology-based. Keller Williams gives me all the tools and resources that I could ever want and desire to be a successful real estate agent. And I've been at some of the larger companies in New York City, and I really honestly believe Keller Williams holds, from a culture perspective, technology perspective, and financial perspective, far and away blows away any of the competition out there. Keller Williams has changed my life for the better. I'm very happy to have found it as a home.
That's really great information to hear. You know, you don't hear You don't hear advice like that and comments like that. It's changed your life, Keller Williams has. So, and I would assume that your experience with them in Brooklyn, New York, would be the same with a Keller Williams representative in Cincinnati or in Topeka, Kansas,
yeah,
or wherever. They're a great outfit to work with, right? Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I visited other Keller Williams offices around the country. They're always very welcoming, always welcome me with open arms and, you know, allowed me the opportunity to meet the other agents in the office. I've even trained in other Keller Williams agents, other Keller Williams offices around the country. Wherever you go, if there's a Keller Williams office, you walk in the door, you feel like you're at home. It's that warm and welcoming and collaborative and collegial of an environment.
Tell me about yourself. What got you into real estate to begin with? Obviously, you've done other things in your career. What about real estate attracted your interest?
Oh, that's a great question. I appreciate you asking it. So back in 1999, can you believe it was 23 years ago already, I was an IT guy. You know, I did computer design, database, networking, you name it, I did it. And in 1999, the internet was just becoming of age, and I looked at different sectors of, different industry sectors. And I realized that the real estate industry was very backwards or very slow to adopt new technology. So I specifically started looking for a job in the real estate sector. And the job I got in the real estate sector was at that time working for Barbara Corcoran at the Corcoran Group when she still owned the Corcoran Group. This is going back to the year 2000. And just as an effective IT guy, I learned the real estate industry. I learned what the brokerage business was all about so I could install effective information systems to support the agents in that office. So that was my foray into real estate. And then eventually I got licensed as a salesperson. And now we're fast-forwarding to 2007, 2008, 2009. You know, there was a bit of a tech crash, and, you know, I was gone from Corcoran for several years by now. And wanted to get out of IT, but still in real estate. And then I became an operations officer at a large privately held company in Brooklyn. And then I found Keller Williams. So, my journey into real estate had to do with implementing technology, and then I fell in love with the business, and I decided to open up the Keller Williams franchise and start selling real estate for a living. And I found a job that was very rewarding and satisfying because people truly appreciated what I was able to do for them, as opposed to by the time the 2000s rolled around, people, you know, didn't appreciate what an IT worker did, because by then, you know, information systems, technology, computers is just like the plumbing in the house. It's just another appliance. It's just another tool. And if it doesn't work, there's nothing so secretive about it. You know, you get it. You know, it just was unrewarding towards the end, where I found being a real estate broker, a real estate salesperson, was very rewarding because I helped change people's lives for the better. You know, I could tell stories of how I changed clients' lives. And how I set them free to do the type of life that they wanted to. Okay.
I assume, number one, you must be a native of Brooklyn, are you? Do you know that area really
yeah,
well?
You
are.
Hear my accent,
okay.
Right? Yeah. My accent, yeah.
That's okay.
It is what it is. You know, hey, forget about it. I'm from Brooklyn, you know. Anyway, so
give
one
me
of
one
my
of
clients,
your great sales stories, you know? Go ahead.
Okay, so there's so many, but my favorite one is probably this couple that owned a home. And it was an expired listing, which means they listed with another agent and agency to get it sold, and they weren't able to get it sold. And they were referred to me, and, you know, I took the big picture. Why wasn't this house selling? Well, the trees and the shrubbery was all covering the home. You couldn't see it from the street. They didn't stage any of the rooms. It was cluttered. There was a medieval weapons room in one part of the house that, you know, it was interesting to look at, but could be a little intimidating and off-putting to potential buyers. So I worked with a stager, a gardener, a landscaper, and cleaned up the whole house. We sold it 3 weeks later. And that's not the favorite part of the story. The favorite part of the story is this couple wanted to sell the home in order to buy a boat and do something called the Loop. The Loop is where you sail up the Hudson, through the Erie Canal, through the Great Lakes, down the Mississippi, back out around the Gulf of Mexico, around Florida, and back up home. They're doing that. As far as I know right now, that's what they're doing. They live in a boat, and, you know, they thank me profusely because they tried to sell the home 3 times unsuccessfully before that. And, you know, what I like to say is I come up with simple solutions for complex problems. I just looked at it from a different perspective and got their home sold right away where other people couldn't get it sold.
You know, I must congratulate
you. That's my favorite story.
I want to point out, you have a great website. And you have some great listings on your website, and you do virtual tours. You're obviously a tech guy, but I mean, this must be pretty common now, I guess, in the real estate business. But people can look at your website and actually take a virtual tour of homes that are available, right? That's got to be a big help.
They can. And, you know, with the implementation, you know, during the pandemic even, I would do live Zoom open houses. So, you know, I've done virtual tours where you have a canned virtual tour online, or I'll do tours of homes for buyers that can't make it, and I'll have a Zoom meeting going, and I'll tour the home with them remotely and show them the home. There's any number of ways I could showcase the home, both online and in live video meetings. So, yeah.
And obviously the prices, you know, you can buy a home for under $1 million in Brooklyn, New York. Am I right?
You can find homes for under $1 million. Depends on the neighborhood, obviously. You get to the Manhattan part of Brooklyn, you know, downtown Brooklyn, you're not gonna find a house for under $1 million. You might find a co-op or a condo under $1 million, but it's gonna be a co-op or a condo. It might be a studio apartment for $700,000 in downtown Brooklyn. Where if you go to the other end of Brooklyn, you know, Canarsie, East New York, Brownsville, some of the less affluent neighborhoods, you could find multifamily, one or two family homes for $600,000-$800,000.
Talk about Staten Island. What's the market there like? Is it much different from Brooklyn or Queens?
Well, the housing stock is very different. There's a lot more one and two family homes. It's still a good market. You know, it's a little bit more of the Wild West selling out there. A lot of agents taking discount commissions and, you know, fighting for the lowest possible price for the home. I'm pleased to say that my sales price to list price ratio is over 100% through all boroughs, through all property types, including the homes that I sell on Staten Island. I'm typically generating over asking price. So as long as you price the home properly, you stage it properly, you do what necessary steps are required to get the home ready for sale, you'll have a successful outcome, whether it's Staten Island, Brooklyn, or Queens, or really wherever. You know, I don't care if it's a buyer's market. It has to do with the price and presentation. Present it well, price it correctly, and the house will sell, right? As long as there are people who need a place to live, a home will sell as long as the buyer perceives value in it. You know, it's about creating value in the properties that you're selling.
Tell me about the Run NYC team. What is that?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's still a great question. So back in the early 2000s,
I'm sorry, I'm in a bed cell phone
reception area. Can you hear me?
No, that's all right.
Can you hear me now?
We're almost out of time. So maybe that wasn't a great question to ask with the little bit of time we have left. I want to thank you. We got a minute left. I just want to thank you so much for taking time to talk to us and tell us about what you do at the Keller Williams Realty Empire. I love the way you put that when you're based in Brooklyn. Your website, by the way, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, it's pretty simple. You go to brooklynnykw.com. So to repeat the website to get a hold of Charles Olson, and he's the big guy there. Again, it's brooklynny.kw.com. Charles Olson, thank you for taking the time. It's been delightful talking to you, and very informative indeed. You're a knowledgeable chap, and we really appreciate your information. All right? Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
You're very, very
bye-bye.
Welcome. All right, Charles. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
And we do, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time. Till then, take care. Bye for now.